Glory to God. They didn't know what hit them, you know. They probably walked out of the house going, what, huh? That's not how they taught us. Glory to God. But God is good, isn't He? Amen, 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 amen. Glory to God. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn first of all to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. It's God is so good. I'm just thrilled, you know, to get into the Word, to find the Word. But tonight I want to talk to you about and answer the question, who am I? Who am I? You know, who am I? What really am I? And many people are out there trying to find themselves. I've known many people shipwrecked because they're out there finding themselves. And they're not satisfied with where they are, so they think that I've got to go to a different location or I've got to go to a different place, or if I'd only went over here or if I only was with somebody else or whatever, I've got to find myself. Well, good luck with that, right? Good luck with that, because the original intent was you to find yourself surrounded and encompassed by the glory of God. And outside of that, outside of the will of God, you'll never find who you really are. But tonight we're going to talk about that. But first of all, I just want to emphasize this point. In verse 23 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you or separate you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now look at this again. Your whole body, your whole spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. What does that mean? That we as human beings, first of all, we've got to understand that we're three parts. I am a spirit. Your spirit is what's going to live forever. You're never going to die. Even those out in the world, they're never going to die. Those that don't know Jesus, their spirits will remain on forever. Now, their souls, is their mind, their will, and their emotions, that can change. And I believe the soul of man will also live on. But the body, this earth suit, is going to perish. Right? And unless Jesus comes back in the interim, all of us are going to be in the same place. We all have an appointment with returning to the dust. Isn't that exciting? Well, what actually is exciting, because if you really believe what we believe, then your last breath on earth is going to be the beginning of your best day. Right? I mean, come on, he's with us, he's for us. But when Jesus said that you must be born again, and he did say that, right? In John chapter 3, he's talking to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus goes, "What are you talking about? You mean I got to crawl back in my mom's belly and come out again?" And he says, no. Unless you're born of the Spirit, right? Of water and the Spirit. In other words, unless you're born naturally, and then you have to be born spiritually. And why is this important? It's so vital. And we know this, but don't let what you know get in the way of what God wants to reveal. Well, let me say that again. That's really important, because sometimes in our minds we go, "Well, I heard this before. I know that before. You know, I've had a good steak before. It doesn't keep me from having another one." Right? So, in fact, when I think about the good steak that I had, it's like, Now, how did I season that? How did I cook that? Because that was so good. Right? But the reality is, if you're feeding on the Word of God and the Word of God is giving you life, it's like, I could take another one of that. So never allow your body or your flesh to get you sidetracked, or your thoughts. You got to train your thoughts to get sidetracked to what God wants to give to you. And tonight, you said that you have to be born again. Your spirit man has to be made new. So the real you was separated from God because of sin. We all know that, right? But Jesus came and paid the price so that we could be reunified with God. And when we're born again, the real us, right, is now right with God. So who am I? Well, I'll tell you, in myself, without Christ, I'm in poor shape, right? In fact, all of us are, right? And we're going to look at a couple of scriptures that emphasize that. Go to first to Romans chapter 3, and many of you will know these readily, but don't let that dissuade you and think about it. I can't tell you how many times I've come to a scripture that I've read before, and I read it again, and it's like, wow, I never saw that before. I never heard that before. Wow. And how many of, it's like, even in the natural, there's times where I like to work on things. Sometimes I don't like to, but I have to, like on cars, right? And sometimes there's a part that you've got to put in a certain place, and you know, you struggle with it. You finally get, you don't know how you got it, but you finally get it. But then when you have to tear it apart because you forgot to put something in there, right? And so pretty soon you get to where, oh, I know how to do that, and it just slips right in, right? And so I think that we have to get to where, listen, God, I've read this before, but I might not know it completely, and I want you to reveal to me so that this becomes a part of who I am, right? Part of who I am. So look at this in 3:23. He said, "For all have sinned." I like the word all. And in this case, it's not as nice, but all refers to all. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In myself, I've sinned and I fall short of the glory of God. I've sinned. And we qualify that. I came from a church where you had biggies and littler sins, right? I mean, you had the biggies and the little sins. But the reality is sin. Any sin is sin. Any sin is missing the mark. And all of us have sinned. We're all in the same boat. So who am I outside of Christ, without Christ, before Christ? I am a sinner who's apart from God, right? That's who I am. And go to Psalm 51. Scott and I were talking earlier today, and we looked at this, but I want to look at it again. In Psalm 51, and this is David when he was caught in his sin, and he thought he got away with it. How many of you ever thought you got away with something, only to find out you didn't get away with it? All right, I've been busted that way before. And here's what I found out. I found out that even when you think you get over, you don't get over. Because your sin will find you out, right? But here's David's response to this in Psalm 51 and verse, let's look at verse 2. It said, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." See, David recognized who he was in himself, apart from God. And he said, apart from you, God, I need you. I need you to cleanse me. I need you to wash me. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. To really find out who you are, you have to allow yourself to see yourself as you are. Right? You have to be vulnerable enough with yourself and an honest enough with God to say, look it, this is who I really am. This is who I am. Outside of you, God, I'm nothing. Right? How many know that all glory has to go to God because He's responsible for everything? And I'm not talking tonight about having an inferiority complex, but what I'm talking about is knowing the state of who I am. Because pride is when you focus on you and how good you are and how all of that pride, and pride stinks because you can't walk in humility and pride at the same time. Now, I can acknowledge who I am in Christ, and we'll get to that in a minute, but at the same time, I have to understand that without Christ, without that phrase, in Christ, this is who I am. This is who I was. This is who I'm stated to be. That my destiny was to end up with my father, the devil, in hell forever. That's who I am. There's nothing good inherently in me. And again, there's not good sinners and bad sinners. Now, we look at that, And somebody that committed this sin is really bad, but one who just lied a little bit, they're not so bad. Everybody does that. Right? But sin is sin. And all of the sin will keep you from the glory of God. So outside of being in Christ, I am incapable of being in God's presence, His glory, where He's at. Glory to God. But that's not the case anymore. Now, go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. I promise this is going to get gooder. Hallelujah. But first we have to establish some things so that when we see this, we can rejoice in the fact of who we are, but understand that it's all because of who has us and who we're in, right? Okay. Romans chapter 7, and go to verse 13. We're going to read a little bit of this chapter. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that I might pierce sin, was producing death in me, what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. What is this saying? This saying, I had to know what sin was and the fact that it had a part of me to understand the thorough futility of trying to live a life without sin. Right? In other words, man, I was good religious. I was good and religious. I went to school. I went to synagogue all the time. And it's like the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and Jesus said, have you done this? And I've done all that, Lord. I've checked all the boxes. I'm really good. I'm good. And he said, well, I just got this one thing. Just this one thing for you. Sell all that you have. Give it to the poor and follow me. See, because all of us have that one thing. And we're all in the same position. And sometimes God has to point that out to us so that He can produce in us what He wants to produce in us. Who am I? Without Christ, I'm nothing. But I'm not without Christ. And we'll get to that in just a minute. Verse 14. For we know that the law was spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. This was a man who was good at the law. This was a man that if anybody in the world could say, I've kept the law, was Paul. In fact, in Philippians, he says, according to the law, blameless. But yet he knew that the law pointed out that you can't get good enough to be in the presence of God. And let's go on and see if you see yourself in any of these verses that are coming up. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it's good. But now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but to perform what is good I do not find. So he's talking about himself outside of Christ. He's talking about his flesh that works in his soul, and he says, in that, man, I mean, this whole thing is coming at me. I want to do the law. I want to be perfect. I want to do righteous. I want to be everything that God has for me to be. But in myself, in me, that's impossible. I want to. I try really hard. I really try hard to be this Christian thing. And all I get is frustrated because I'm trying to do it in me. And trying to do it in you, finding out who you are in you, will only lead to frustration. But there's a better way. Come on. Verse 19, or verse 20. Now if I do what I will not to do, it's no longer I do it, but sin that dwells in me. And I find a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law working in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity, the law of sin which is in my member. And then he goes on to verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? That sounds pretty hopeless. And all of us have been there, oh God, I did it again. I failed again. I fell down again. God, who's able to deliver? I want to do good, but I got this thing working in me that seems to always pull me in the wrong direction. And oh God, oh wretched man that I am. I'm going to ask you again, who are you? Right? In myself, outside of Christ, without being in Christ, I'm in trouble. I'm not all that. I have flaws. That's hard for you to believe, but talk to Renita. I have flaws, right? Right? And but who's able to deliver me? But verse 25 answers the question. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. What's he saying? It's Jesus that's able to deliver me from the dilemma of having to want to do right and not being able to do right because he's made me right. Because it goes right on to the next sentence and says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Why? Because it's in Christ that I've been changed. So I'm not who I am in me anymore. When I got born again, I became who I am in Christ. Glory to God. And in Him, it's a whole different picture. Why? Because my identity is wrapped up in what He did. And watch this. It's not what He's going to do. It's not what's going to happen someday. It's something that's already been done. It's already been taken care of. He already became sin for every sin that I've ever committed and will ever commit. He's already become sin for that, that I might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Right? And we'll look at those scriptures a little clearer. But the reality is, who am I? In myself, not so much. But I'm not in myself, I'm in Christ. In fact, when God looks at you, He sees you through the blood of Jesus because your identification is in Him. This is not a great analogy, but it'll get a little way to the point. Here's these kids, you know, some of them are not kids anymore, but they decide, we're going to go into the army. And so they all come down, they're lined up, and they're in their civilian clothes, and here they are. Their identity up to that point has been, I'm me, this has been my family, whatever. And the army says, that's nice. Come on with us. Come on with us. You're coming into boot camp. The first thing they do is they make you take off the clothes that you have. And they issue the clothes that you're going to wear. And then they say, you know, that haircut's really nice, but it's not military. So what we're going to do is we're going to shave your head, right? And then we're going to spend all of this time forming you into somebody that can identify and be identified with who we are. So by the time you come out of boot camp, and especially A school, you're in this uniform, and anybody that sees you knows when they see that uniform that you're in the army. Because you are now army. People that aren't in the army don't have the same privileges as you do. Right? I can't just walk on to Fort Lewis because I'm not in the army. But if I was in the army and had the uniform on and the badge, I could go up to the gate and get right in. See what I'm saying? But watch this. When we became born again, we got translated out of one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, and we got translated into the kingdom of light. And my identity is now seen by the uniform that I'm wearing. See, because I had on this robe of rags that was was covered in bloody filth. Because the Bible says that my righteousness was like the righteousness of filthy rags. And actually in the Hebrew it's even more descriptive than that, which I won't get into tonight. But it's gross. My being able to be right with God is like gross rags. But I'm not in my righteousness. I'm now clothed in His righteousness. So when God looks at me, He doesn't look at me this way. He looks at me that way. So who am I? I am in Christ Jesus. The old man is dead. Watch this. I'm way ahead of myself. But go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Again, you know these verses, but who am I? I am in Christ. And what does that mean? That means a whole different thing. I'm not the man, or I'm not the woman. I'm not the person that I used to be. And God doesn't look at me through the eyes of who I was born the first time into. He looks at me through the eyes of who I was born again with. Come on. Come on. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Glory to God. You see, and what I have to do is I have to begin to get my mind, my soul renewed to the fact of who I am now, so that I can answer the question, this is who I am. The world and your relatives and everybody said, no, that's who you are. Remember, you used to do it. In fact, I mean, you still go to my family. I remember him when he, you know. And I'll never forget the night I was talking about the old Bruce. And Missy went, huh? You? You? Because I'm different. Because I'm in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, who am I? I'm in Christ. I'm an anyone, and I'm in Christ. Who am I? I'm in Christ. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's go on. He is a new creature. He's a new creature. Some versions say creation. Some versions say a new species. A new species. In other words, this isn't a species that existed, and we've changed it a little bit, and it's now operating like this, right? It's not a 64 Chevy with an LS engine in it now, right? It's a brand new thing. It's never existed before, and it's completely new. If any man, any woman, any person, any human is in Christ, so who I am is now identified to be in Christ. And now that I'm in Christ, I'm completely brand new. Right? I'm completely new on the inside. I've been made, you know, oh, so good. But watch this. Who's been made new? What part of me has been made new? My spirit man. Because I got born again many years ago. I looked a lot younger then. Right? But I went to the mirror the next day and looked at the mirror. I looked exactly the same. And I still had some of the thoughts that I used to have before Christ. Right? So my soul wasn't born again. It wasn't new. But I had to do some things to get my soul lined up with what's happened in my spirit, because I had to tell my soul who I really was now. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. So there are times where I've got to tell myself, no, that's not me. That was the old man. That's what I used to be. That's how I used to act. That's how I used to behave. But that's not me anymore. Now, how many know that especially if you're not fellowshipping with God, if you're not in God and working and just being in love with God and walking in the Spirit, and you're not doing those things, that old man can come back and say, you remember me? You remember me? And if you don't come against that remember me thing, all of a sudden your soul will go back, well, no, that's who I really am over here. And your spirit said, I don't think so. let me tell you a story. A pastor friend of mine, he had kidney stones. They're lovely. Kidney stones are just fun, right? I've had them. But he went to the emergency room, which the first time I had them, I did too. I mean, I was like, what is happening here? And so he was in a lot of pain. And so at the emergency room, they gave him some pain medication. And on the way home, see, he used to be a heavy drug dealer. In fact, he used to be into a lot of things, but a heavy drug dealer. And on the way home, his flesh spoke up and said, I remember this. The feeling of being under the narcotic. And he went home immediately and flushed them all down the toilet. Because he wasn't going to let himself go back to what he was. Because what he was kept him from who he is. Glory to God, glory to God. Now watch this. Verse 17 again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all. Everybody say all. All things became new. I'm not who I was. If I was weak before, now I'm strong. If I was sad before, now I have joy. If I was down, because I'm now in Christ Jesus. That old man, with everything that was tied to him, everything that was associated with the guilt, the shame, the lack, all of that has been passed away, and now all things are new. Who am I? I am in Christ Jesus, and now all things are new. It's not even like, well, we're going to forgive all that, and we're going to give you a clean slate. It's like this. If you ever got in trouble when you're in youth, it says that they seal your records. But the reality is, they can still go back and find those records. Right? But if you went up to heaven and looked for the records of who you were before you became in Christ, there would be no records to be found. Glory to God, because I'm in Christ Jesus. And watch this, and many testimonies, and I'm going to share a couple with you. We've got to get to the place where we understand that when shame starts to envelop us because of who we think we are, it's an absolute reflection that the enemy is lying to us and not allowing us to see who we really are. Now, if you went to heaven right now, if you know, the big one hit and the building collapsed on us, I'm not prophesying that, by the way, and we all died, we'd be all dancing in heaven, right? We'd all be rejoicing. Our bodies would be down here in all the rubble, and people would come and cry and moan and all that, but we'd be up there going, woohoo, glory to God, hallelujah. But here's the remarkable thing. It's not like you'd get up there and go, oh man, now I got to go before God. He's going to show me everything I've ever done, whether it's good or bad. Oh my, oh. No, the minute that you crossed over, you'd feel a complete lack of shame. There would be no shame. There would be no guilt. Why? Because the real you has none. Glory to God. One night, this is not long after I got saved, I had a dream or something. I don't know. Paul said it one way. He said, man, whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. But I had an experience. And the reason that I don't know is because I never remembered my dreams, especially then more. I remember them more now. But here was the scene. It didn't last very long. But the scene was, as I was up here, looking down at my body in a hospital bed. Now, see, that's rare because I've been in the emergency room once. You know, I mean, I'm just not in the hospital, right? But at that time, never. I think when I was 6 years old for my tonsils out. But I was looking down at my body and so I could see all the machines. I could see people working around, you know, all of that. But I was up here. And I don't remember a lot about it, but here's what I do remember. And it's still, when I think about it, it comes back to me, is that I felt complete, the way I described it then was peace. I mean, an overwhelming sense of, what was that? That was the absence of shame. That was the absence of the guilt that the old man felt because the new man was separated from glory to God. Absolute lack of shame. So the old has passed away, but the new has come. So we've left some things off, but we've also gained some things. Now that I'm in Christ, I've gained some things. Drop down to verse 21. It says, For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Jesus was a sinless, spotless lamb. There was no way legally binding that the devil could kill Jesus. In fact, Jesus says, nobody takes my life, but I give it up freely. If I didn't want to die, if I didn't want to do this, if I wanted to remove my will to sacrifice for humanity, I could do it. I could just call on a few angels right now. It'd be all over. But he said, no, I've come to do the will of my Father, right? But the minute that he did that, he took upon himself my sin. He became my sin sacrifice. He became sin for me. So he took every one of my sin. When he was hanging on the cross, it was my sin that he was enduring. Most of you have seen, I'm sure, but years ago when the Passion of the Christ came out, it was controversial. And it was controversial because the Jewish folks thought it would spike a rise in anti-Semitism, right? Because, oh, here are these Jews that crucified the Christian God. But actually, it was the Jews that crucified another Jew, right? Jesus was Jewish. I don't know if you knew that, but he was Jewish, right? Now watch this. But Jesus was not hung on the tree by the Jewish people. So we're watching this movie, and like many of you, I saw it in the theater. A bunch of pastors had a preview thing, and we're sitting there in the theater looking like this up at the show, at the movie. And by the time that it ended, nobody moved. Nobody said anything. And I mean, not just for a minute or two. I'll bet it was 5 or 10 minutes before anybody moved. We're just like, and the overwhelming feeling in my spirit was, I deserved every one of those blows. He took every one of those for me. See, there was a substitutionary work that happened right there, and that's what this is describing. And I could go, oh, why did he have to do that for me? Oh, I feel so bad. And I think there's a good place for understanding the price that was paid. But on the other side of that, see, not only do you have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that He's the Messiah, but you have to believe that He was raised from the dead. Why? Because the death, the resurrection is what proves the point that the sacrifice was accepted. When that sacrifice was accepted, I became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, what's righteousness? Righteousness means I'm right. I'm in right standing with. I have access to God. Who am I? I'm a man who's covered by the blood of Jesus. And all my sins have been washed away. I have been redeemed. Come on. So who am I? I am in Christ Jesus. And my being in Christ Jesus changes everything. There's no more sin. There's no more shame. There's no more guilt. There's no more condemnation because of who I am in Him. Glory to God. Look at, we are commissioned to go do things in Jesus' name. In Mark chapter 16 and different places, it talks about, go ye into all the world. And it says, to those who believe in my name, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. In my name, cast out devils. In my name, do all of these things. And Jesus said, up to this point, you haven't prayed anything in my name, but from now on, you're going to pray to the Father in my name. What does that mean? When you go before the Father, you're going in me, because in me is where your redemption comes. In me is where your righteousness has been delivered. In me is where you have right standing to go before God. In me you have the right to command the enemy to take his hands off of people, because you're now associated. And watch this. When you use the name of Jesus, and we're not talking about the name of Jesus, it's the devil doesn't see you. Sees Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. When I pray, when I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm right before the presence of God because of the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. So I've been made righteous in Him. Now go to Ephesians chapter 1. See, the enemy is going to try to paralyze you a couple of different ways. If he can't paralyze you by trying to remind you of what you did before you got saved and put you into guilt and condemnation, right? He'll try to get you to the place that you're trying to do everything in your own strength. God never asked you to do anything in your own strength. If He's told you to do something, He's going to provide for it. Right? And you're going, oh yeah, yeah, Lord, you want me to do this and you want me to do such and such, but God, I can't possibly do that. Right? And there's many in this room who've felt like God told them to go do something, like go to Africa, go to Central America, go to different places, and you went, you know how much that costs, God? Do you know how much I make, God? Do you know how much debt I'm in, God? You really want me to do that? And yet we've watched, God said, yeah, but where I put the vision, I put the provision. You've got to do some things to walk that out, but I'll take care of that. So don't worry about that part of it. You just worry about preparing yourself to go and do what I told you to do, right? But watch this, the provision will never come until you take the step toward it. If you just say, well, when the money comes, I'll do it. It's probably never going to come. And you're never going to do it. Right? But I've got to see myself as being in Christ. So Ephesians chapter 1, and look at verse 4. It says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. Before the foundation of the world, He knew that you and I would need a Savior. He knew that sin would corrupt humanity. And before the foundation of the world, He had a plan in place for us to be saved. But watch this. It's not just saved. It's not just, I'm going to go to heaven someday. Who am I? I'm in Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus, I'm holy. Somebody said, if you followed me around, you'd say you wouldn't say that, right? Well, I wouldn't say that about who you are in you, but I would say that about who you are in Him. Why? Because if I'm looking through the lenses that God wears, it's blood-covered glasses, and He sees you as holy. He sees you as blameless. I'm loved by Him. God loves me. God loves you. Yeah, but you don't know who I am. He loves you because you're the pastor. He loves you. No, He doesn't love me any different than He loves you. He only loves us because Jesus paid the price for us and we accepted Him. And because we accepted Him, we're holy. We're blameless. And we're the object of His affection. Woo, Lord, I'm going to preach me happy. Right? Now let's go on, verse 5. Having predestined us to the adoption of His sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Tonight, who am I? I'm part of the Beloved. I'm part of the Beloved. Now, it's a whole different world, and some of you understand this world. I don't really understand it, but I've been riding a motorcycle for the last few years. And in riding the motorcycles, a lot of people wear vests, and on the back of it, they've got patches on that vest. And so that vest identifies them with the club that they're in, right? And once they're accepted in that club, there's some restrictions, there's some rights, there's some privilege. But once you've been accepted into the club, it's like the Hell's Angels. You just don't go, I want to be a Hell's Angel, and the next day you're a Hell's Angel. It takes years of initiation and different things that you have before you can put the patch on the back, right? Now, and you don't mess with one of them, because if you mess with one of them, you got the whole club coming after you, right? Because what's that? And once you're in there, that's it, right? Well, I haven't been accepted into that club, but I have been accepted into His club. And what's His club? It's the Beloved. Jesus loves me, this I know. Come on. He loves me. He loves you. So who am I? I'm loved. I'm holy, I'm blameless, and I'm loved. Now watch this. Which He made, and we have in Him, because I'm in Him, I have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Look at the redemption for my sin was not according to my ability or what I did or what I didn't do, or because, you know, I tried really hard, or I prayed enough, or I struggled enough. The reason that I have His redemption is because He wanted to give it. And the Bible goes on to say in Ephesians that we're saved through grace by faith. In other words, my part in it is just to believe it. Who am I? I'm in Christ Jesus, so I'm loved, right? I'm blameless, I'm holy, and I'm redeemed. What does that mean? There was a price paid to buy me back, and so now I belong again into the family of God. Come on. Who am I? I'm in Jesus. I'm somebody who didn't exist before, but now do exist. Now watch these next verses, because it's amazing. Verse 8, it said, which He made abound toward us. Now, it would be great if He gave us a little. You know, have you ever been to somebody's house, and especially grandma's house? And you say, Grandma, I'd like a little bit of that dessert. Could I have just a little bit of that dessert? And she's, oh, honey. And she comes back with this plate full of, it's abounding on the plate, and you're going, okay, I'll take it, right? I'll take it. Well, see, Jesus didn't get up there and say to Bruce, He said, well, I'm going to dispense you just a little bit of what I'm giving to you. He says, I'm giving it to you in abundance, and over your plate will overflow with this grace that I'm giving you. Now watch this. In all wisdom and prudence. I have the wisdom of God. I have the mind of Christ. But not just that. Watch this. Wisdom and prudence. What is prudence? Prudence is an understanding of knowing what to do with what I have. What am I going to do? I'm going to trust God. How do you know that God's going to come through for you? Because I'm in Him. Who am I? I'm in Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, I'm holy. I'm blameless. I'm loved. I have all wisdom. I have all grace. And it abounds toward me. I mean, we could go on and on and on and on. But watch this, and I've got to do this really quickly. But go to chapter 4. It's wonderful that God has done all of this, and this is who I am in Christ Jesus. But I have a part to play in it. You have a part to play in it. Just because He's given you a gift and just because He's made you a certain way doesn't automatically mean that you're going to just react that way. Right? Because in the same letter that he wrote to the book of Ephesians, he says in verse 21 of chapter 4, he says this, "And that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." You have to put it on when? Every day. Every second. Every nanosecond. He said you have to take every thought captive. So taking every thought captive is putting the new man on and not letting the old man rule. "Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." In other words, there's things, and you know, to kind of summarize, there's things that we have to put on, and there's things that we have to put off. We have to recognize that this behavior was part of the old man, and it doesn't apply to me. It's not who I am. I refuse to be that because I'm now this man. So we have to put on the new man, but we have to put off the old man. When the old man comes up, you have to do something about it. And what you have to do is say, "No, that's no longer me." Right? Years ago, there was a preacher, he came. His dad was a womanizer, you know, went after, was married, but had ladies all over the place. His grandpa was the same way, and it was, you know, we would say it in some religious circles that was a generational spirit, right, that was on them. So one day he's got saved, he's in ministry, he's doing everything, and the enemy says, "Well, you know, after all, your daddy was a womanizer, and your granddaddy was, and for all you know, your granddaddy's daddy was a womanizer, and so that's just who you are." And of course, there was thoughts and stuff coming associated with that. And he said he just started laughing. He said, "No, that's not who I am. When I got born again, that man died. I'm now a new creature in Christ Jesus. And let me tell you how my daddy thinks right now. Right? That's who I am. I have strength, I have power, I have the ability, and in Jesus' name, I'm not listening to you, but I'm listening to the one who created me in Christ Jesus. So who am I? I'm not who I was. And I'm not by myself. But I'm in Him. And I can't take credit for anything that He's done. So He gets all the glory and all the praise. But in the same token, I am not going to be defeated by the enemy telling me that I'm not who God says that I am." Right? So you have to put that on. You have to go, "No, bless God, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. No, bless God." And how do you put it on? You put it on by putting thoughts in your mind and letting them come out of your mouth to establish them in your heart. Right? "This is who I am, bless God. I have the love of God shed abroad in my heart. I have the peace of God that passes all understanding that guards my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nothing's impossible to me because I'm a believer. I can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I can cast out devils in Jesus' name. I can take up any deadly thing. It's not going to hurt me. All of my needs are provided for. His grace abounds to me that I, having sufficiency in everything, am able to give to every good work. All of heaven is behind me because they're behind Jesus and I'm a joint heir with Him. And if Jesus has it, I have it because we have the same. I have the power of eternity to His name. So His bank account is available to me as I'm in Him. Who am I? I'm in Christ. My identity is in Him. Glory to God. Glory to God." But you have to put that on. When do you have to put that on? All the time. All the time. I don't have time to go into that, and we're going to close right now. But but there's many Christians who've been delivered from victimhood, but they're still wearing the victim's hat. And they need to take that victim's hat off and put on the victor's crown. You have to quit seeing yourself as less than. And again, it's not in you. I'm not saying that you're all of that, but I'm saying in Jesus, He's made you all of that. Come on, hallelujah. It's not about me. It's not about who raised me. It's not about where I came from, whether that's rich, poor, black, white, woman, man. It doesn't. None of that matters. In fact, He says it's the female, Greek, Jew. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Who am I? I'm in Jesus. Let's pray. Woo! Father, we just want to give You glory and honor and praise. I thank You, Lord, that when I pray in Jesus' name, I'm just enforcing what You've already done. Everything that I need has already been accomplished. All of my needs have already been met. All of the forgiveness that I could ever need has already been applied. I thank You, Lord, that You are more than enough for any situation that I get into. God, You've made me victorious. I am more than a conqueror, and Lord, I just give You the praise. And I thank You, Lord, that everybody that's listening to me who have made Jesus the Lord of their life, the first step, the thing that you have to do, is that you have to understand that you have to become born again. You need to have Jesus as Lord of your life. And if you don't know whether that's happened or not, the reality is it probably hasn't. And you have to come to the place of total surrender to Him and just say, Lord, I need You in my life. Like one lady said, Lord, if You can do anything with this, do it. And she's preached the gospel around the world because of the work of Jesus. So if you've never prayed the prayer, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, if you've never really taken a hold of it, do it now. And just say, Lord, I surrender to You right now. Come on, if you're at home, if you're here, just say, Lord, I surrender everything to You right now. I just surrender my life. I understand that the way I am, Lord, I'm without You. I'm outside of You. But I need Jesus. I need the blood to cleanse me. I need the blood to purify me. I need His blood to forgive me. But I believe that Jesus did all of that. I believe that Jesus is Lord. So I receive Jesus right now. I submit myself to Him. I receive Him as my Lord, my Master, my Savior. And Lord, I believe that just as He was raised from the dead, so am I sitting at Your right hand. And Lord, I thank You right now that I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name. If you did that, get into the Word of God. Find out who you are. Get into a good church. Talk to some people. And just begin to fellowship with Him because He loves you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.